Dr. Christian's office. Oh, little Tommy, how are you today, sugar? All healed? Oh, swell. Oh, your mother wants to thank me? Okay, Tommy, put her on.
The Vaseline program bringing you another Dr. Christian prize play called Always Yours by Arlene Jack of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, starring Jean Herschel as Dr. Christian with Helen Clare in the role of Judy Price.
Mrs. Owens? Oh, I'm so happy Tommy's burns well again. Surprised you? Well, it did heal quickly, but that's no surprise to me. Vaseline petroleum jelly, or petrolatum, as doctors call it, has created quite a stir lately. Oh, yes, it's part of the treatment that's turned many serious burn cases into remarkable recoveries, overseas and here in hospitals, too. That's right. It's just about top for first aid to burns. Oh, yes, Mrs. Owens, use the same treatment next time anybody gets burned. Right off, cover the burn with Vaseline petroleum jelly spread on fine mesh gauze, then bandage firmly but not tightly. That's all. Of course, if the burn is deep or covers a wide area, always call the doctor. But be sure, too, you've always got Vaseline petroleum jelly at your medicine chest. Only a dime a jar, you know, and comes in handy tubes, too. Well, regards to Tommy, Mrs. Owens. Take care of that fine family of yours. Goodbye.
Tonight, at the end of this program, Jean Herschel will tell you about the new competition for the $2,000 Dr. Christian Award for 1945, which every writer, amateur or professional, is entitled to enter. Be sure to listen with special attention. Meantime, let's relax and enjoy our prize play, Always Yours. The opening scene takes place in Dr. Christian's familiar office.
Hello, Dr. Christian. Through with the afternoon calls already?
Yes, Judy, I didn't have so many calls to make.
Wasn't that Mrs. Sloan you were talking to outside?
Yes, she was on her way to the grocery store, and she stopped me for a little chat. Judy, that woman is a chronic worrier.
What's bothering her, Dr. Christian?
Oh, something about her daughter. Mrs. Sloan didn't make it very clear. I don't see why anyone should worry about a girl like Gail. She seems to be one of the most charming and sensible girls in Riverside.
Well, sensible's hardly the word for Gail, Dr. Christian, at least not at the moment.
What do you mean, Judy?
You know Dr. Graham, who's just been added to the staff of the hospital.
Yes,
but... Well, since Gail's been working at the hospital as a nurse's aide, she and Dr. Graham have become very friendly. The local grapevine report has it that they spend most of their free evenings together, although they're trying to keep it secret because it upsets Gail's mother.
Oh, but Judy, Dr. Graham must be over 40 years old. Why, he must be twice Gail's age. And besides...
Besides, you don't like him? No, he hasn't been very popular in Riverbend. Still, he's just the type who'd appeal to a girl who's very young and very lonely.
Well, I thought Gail was engaged to Larry Warner.
She was, but Larry's been overseas 2 years now. That makes a difference, you know.
Well, this time I guess Mrs. Sloan really has something to worry about. Judy, it looks like the only way I can cure my patient is by getting at the cause of the trouble.
Hello, Gail. May I give you a lift?
Hello, Dr. Christian. I'm on my way to the hospital.
Oh, I'm going right past there. Hop in.
Thank you.
Well, Gail, I hear you're getting along fine with your nurse's aide work. You girls are certainly a godsend to the hospital now that there's a shortage of nurses.
We all enjoy doing it, Dr. Christian. It gives us a nice, warm feeling to know we can do a war job. Even if it is only a part-time one.
Oh, too bad more girls don't find some
useful way to spend her long, empty evenings.
Oh, now, Dr. Christian, what would you know about long, empty evenings?
Not much, I'm afraid. I don't have many free evenings myself. But I imagine you girls get rather lonesome and bored now that most of the young men are under service.
Well, that's the way it is at first. When you think you're in love with someone and he goes away, at first, you wonder how you can stand it. You spend most of your time feeling sorry for yourself and writing long letters. That stage gradually wears off. Then, after about a year, you settle down to 2 or 3 letters a week. By that time, it's hard to write at all because you've said all there is to say.
Is that the way things have worked out for you and Larry Gale?
Yes, we seem to have grown apart. 2 years is a long time, Dr. Christian. Why, I can't even remember how Larry looked. At least not very clearly. Oh, we had so many lovely memories at first. Now it all seems like a dream. A sweet dream, but not at all real.
Oh, but surely just being apart couldn't break up the understanding and love you and Larry had. Letters could bring you even closer together than you have been.
Well, that was mainly the trouble. After Larry went into action, his letters changed. They were so brief and sketchy, not like Larry at all. Well, I feel as though he's almost a stranger. Oh, I'm boring you with my troubles, Dr. Chris.
Oh, no, not at all, girl. I'm very much interested in this case. Oh, I wish there was some way I could help.
Well, it's too late for that, Dr. Christian. I think that's the way Larry wanted it. Here, I'll read you one of his last letters. Dearest Gale, first chance I've had to write you in 2 weeks. Sorry about the long delay, but we've been busy lately. I can't tell you anything about that, but suppose you've been reading about it in the papers anyway. Hope the rain lets up soon. This continual downpour is very depressing. How is everything at home? Write soon and tell me all about it. Always yours, Larry.
Well, he did say always yours.
Yes, force of habit, I suppose.
When a man has been in combat for a while, Gale, he often suffers from battle fatigue. He's so worn out physically and mentally that it's a great effort to write even short notes to keep in contact with his friends and his family.
Well, I'm afraid it's more than that, Dr. Christian. I haven't heard from Larry since I wrote that letter breaking off our engagement. He didn't even try to...
Didn't try to persuade you to change your mind?
Well, not that I care, Dr. Christian. I guess I've outgrown Larry anyway. I prefer older men.
Well, here we are at the hospital, Gale. Larry's a fine boy, Gale. I hope you two can work out a solution to your problem. Maybe you'll feel differently about it the next time you see Larry.
Thanks, Dr. Christian. There really isn't any problem, though. And I'll probably be already married when I see Larry again. Dr. Graham?
Hi, darling.
Please, Steve, someone may hear you.
How much longer do we have to go on like this, pretending we scarcely know each other?
Steve, we can't go over all that again, at least not here. Look, I can't talk to you now. You'll have to give me a little more time to get Mother used to the idea.
I'm not a patient man, my sweet. I intend to keep right on pestering you until you give in and marry me. You're the only reason I'm sticking around this dull town.
You mean you want to leave Riverbend?
Well, just as soon as I can take you with me.
But, Stephen, you're needed here. You know there's a shortage of doctors.
Precisely. With this shortage, I can build up a splendid practice in one of the large cities. This is one time when a doctor can pick and choose his patients. And if you're smart enough...
Please don't say any more, Stephen. You're getting me more mixed up than ever.
Good morning, Dr. Christian's office. No, Dr. Christian isn't in.
Yes, I'll tell him. Could you give me the patient's name, please? Did you say Larry Warner? Yes, Dr. Christian should be in any minute now, and I'm sure he'll come right over. Thank you. Oh, Dr. Christian, I'm so glad you're here. I have the most wonderful news for you.
Well, let's have it, Judy. I could use some good news right now.
Larry Warner's home.
Say, that is good news, Judy. He couldn't have picked a more opportune time to return.
Well, his homecoming was spoiled. He had been in a hospital in San Francisco for a month, recovering from a severe case of malaria. He was given a furlough and rushed home to surprise his mother. But he's had another attack of malaria and had to be taken to a hospital.
Well, now at least he's home. That's the important thing. I hope he can patch up his differences with Gail while he's here. I'd hate to see him lose out, Judy. Those two were made for each other.
It's only Dr. Grammer out of the picture.
Well, Gail didn't say it in so many words, but I believe he's considering marrying Dr. Graham.
Oh, I hope not. I think that would be a serious mistake.
Well, Larry still has a chance to win her back. If he can only get him together, Judy, maybe he can...
With you on his side, Dr. Christian, I'd say Larry's chances are pretty good.
I'm going over to the hospital to see Larry right away. You want to come along, Judy? I may need your help.
I was hoping you'd ask me. Give me a second to get my coat.
Larry, you haven't a thing to worry about. You'll be up and around inside of 2 weeks, so all you have to do is to relax and enjoy being at home again.
I don't mind the malaria so much.
Oh, you must be getting used to it by now, since this is your third attack. How does it feel to be home after 2 years, Larry?
Well, being at home isn't quite the thrill I expected it would be, Dr. Christian. You can't imagine how a fellow looks forward to coming home when he's overseas. It isn't homesickness, exactly. You'll get over that in time. It's just kind of an obsession, always in the back of your mind. You make plans and you build up all sorts of dreams. At least that's the way it was with me. I guess I had counted too much on the storybook ending. You know, the knight kills the dragon and hurries home to marry the princess and they live happily ever after. When Gail broke our engagement, everything seemed to go flat. There was nothing to come home to. Nothing to look forward.
You shouldn't give up so easily, Larry.
You didn't read Gail's last letter, Dr. Christian. It was very final.
Yes, but maybe if you talked it over with her.
You don't know Gail, Dr. Christian. Once she makes up her mind...
Oh, now remember, you've been away 2 years, Larry. Are you sure you know her as she is now, I mean? This war has changed our young people. They've had to face emotional problems that would stump older and wiser people. Now, even loneliness is a problem, Larry. Especially for a girl as young and as attractive as Gail.
But, Dr. Christian, Gail is in love with another man. She's practically engaged to
him. Why, Larry, I'm surprised at you. Afraid of a little competition? A man who has faced the enemy on the battlefield?
I guess you're right. I don't know, it's just that I'm tired of fighting. I wanted everything to be the way it was when I left. I didn't expect I'd have to start all over at the beginning.
Perhaps the victory will be easier than you think. If I were you, I'd make the effort. That is, if Gail means anything to you. Well, I must continue my rounds. I'll look in again later.
Oh, Doctor, there you are. I've been looking all over for you.
Is something wrong, Judy?
Doctor, something awful's happened. Gail Sloan...
Larry Warner is in this room.
Oh, I didn't know.
What about Gail? What's happened?
Well, her mother just phoned. She's frantic. She says Gail eloped with Dr. Graham this morning.
Why, that's impossible. Dr. Graham was here at 10 o'clock. I told her myself.
But he's not here now. I checked on it. And Gail's not here. She's gone, all right. She left a note for her mother saying she wanted to get... So she and Dr. Graham are going to drive across the border into the next state, where they could be married without delay.
Well, this is a shock. I was so sure she could patch things up with Larry. Come in for a day or two, Judy. He's in no condition to hear bad news. I must have fallen asleep in my chair. Oh, mercy, it's nearly midnight. Say, what's that? Who is it, please?
Doctor. Dr. Christian.
Gail Sloan. What are you doing here? What's the matter?
Let me come in for a moment, Doctor. I know it's an imposition at this hour, but I saw your light.
Well, come in, child. Come into my office where it's warm.
Oh, I was never so cold in my life.
Now then, young lady. Well, are you shivering? Sit down here by the fire.
Thank you, Doctor. I will. I'm a little tired. I've walked such a long way.
Gail. Why, she's fainted.
Doctor, how is she?
Resting nicely now. She's in my office. She'll be all right. I'm sorry to get you out again in the middle of the night.
Wild horses couldn't keep me away. I'm consumed with curiosity. What happened?
As near as I can make out, she changed her mind again. When they got to Aurora, wait.
Judy? Judy, is that you? Oh, yes, Gail, I'm right here. And it's wonderful to have you home again. Oh, Judy. Judy, you'll think me a perfect fool. But I just couldn't go through with it. The moment we started, I knew I'd made a mistake. I tried to back out, and Dr. Graham got pretty nasty. Said I'd marry him or else. Threatened to shoot us both. Oh, it was ghastly. The nearer we got to the state line, the worse my panic became. All I could think of was escape. What did you do? How did you manage? Well, when we got to Aurora, I suggested we stop at the bus terminal to get hot coffee. And there was the Centerville bus just loading up.
Oh, so that's how you made your getaway.
Yes. While we were eating, I kept an eye on the bus. And just as it was ready to pull out, I excused myself and sneaked aboard. Resourceful gal, isn't she? Of course, the bus doesn't come in at River's End, and I had to walk all the way from the state highway in the snow.
Well, now you're home safe and sound, and none the worse for your experience. Well, now, don't you think it's about time you phoned your mother?
Yes, I... No, I should. But I'm afraid...
Oh, nonsense. Why, she'll be overjoyed to get you back. She always did favor Larry.
Larry? Oh, Doctor. I know Larry will never speak to me again after this. What a bet.
Christian, Gail means more than anything in the world to me. If the future doesn't include her, well, I don't want any part of it.
Oh, Larry.
Gail.
Why didn't you tell me that before? That's what I wanted to hear. All those short, stiff little letters you wrote. Why, I thought you changed your mind.
Gail, speak of angels and they appear. How'd you get here so fast? Just this minute, I started to pray that I'd get a chance to see you again.
Judy said the patient in 419 wanted some orange juice.
That isn't all he wants, my darling. Come on over here. Now, whose girl are you anyway?
Yours, Larry. Always yours.
Come on, Judy. Let's leave these young people alone.
I think they've forgotten we're here.
Did you hear what Gail said, Judy? Always yours. Well, this time I believe she means it.
And the curtain descends on another Dr. Christian prize play. Please stand by for Gene Herschel's important announcement. Men, if there's anything more stubborn than a mule, it's a stubborn mop of unruly hair. Well, if your problem is hair that won't behave, here's your solution. stubborn hair and those other signs of dry scalp, loose dandruff, and a tight, itchy scalp certainly call for Vaseline Hair Tonic. Because Vaseline Hair Tonic supplements natural scalp oils and contains no alcohol or other drying ingredients. Here's how to apply this double check against dry scalp. Each morning, comb just 5 drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic through your hair or rub them directly on your scalp. Simple, isn't it? Yet this daily care checks dryness, keeps your hair neat and well-groomed all day long. And then before shampooing, give your scalp a vigorous Vaseline Hair Tonic massage. This loosens dandruff scales, stops itchy tightness. For double care, both scalp and hair, use Vaseline Hair Tonic regularly. Vaseline Hair Tonic is one of the many Vaseline brand products made by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline. And now, here is Gene Herschel.
Well, thank you very much. In the past 3 years, you've heard on this program more than 137 fresh, original radio dramas contributed by the finest young writer and talent in America. The sponsors of the program, makers of Vaseline brand products, are proud indeed to have been the instrument for bringing out this lively talent to their annual Dr. Christian Award. The play you just heard, for example, Always Yours, was written by 24-year-old Arlene Jack, native of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, employed as a secretary. Writing has always been my ambition, she tells us, but this script is my first successful venture in the radio field. Your acceptance of my play is a source of real encouragement to me. And so it gives me great pleasure to be able to announce tonight the 4th annual competition for the $2,000 Dr. Christian Award. The competition closes on March 31st, 1945. The winner will be selected by a prominent committee of experts whose names will be announced later. In addition to the $2,000 winner, other scripts chosen for presentation on the Dr. Christian program will be paid for at not less than $150, nor more than $350. The competition is open to everyone, amateur as well as professional. And this is your chance to get your radio script produced on the entire CBS network of stations. The rules for entering a script in this competition are very simple and are given in detail in a folder which you can get free by writing to the Dr. Christian Award, 17 State Street, Zone 4, New York City. We invite you all to try, and we wish you all the best of luck. Next Wednesday evening, we will present a new prize play called The Shawl by Robert P. Tolan of South Boston, Massachusetts. We hope you'll all be listening at the same time and at the same station. And until then, I'll say good night.
Tips for chapped lips, the best is Vaseline Lipite. Healing starts almost instantly. In 2 sizes at 10 and 25 cents, Vaseline Lipite. Forget that address Gene Herschel just gave you, folks. Make a note of it now so you'll have it. If you wish to enter a radio script for the $2,000 Dr. Christian Award for 1945, write for the folder of rules to Dr. Christian Award, 17 State Street, Zone 4, New York City. That's Dr. Christian Award, 17 State Street, Zone 4, New York City. Don't delay. Write tonight. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.